It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, JC Sherbert in with you here. Coming off of Shane Beamer's appearance at SEC Media Days yesterday. Wow, there's not much going on with the national media when it comes to South Carolina this preseason, JC. It's just,
it doesn't matter.
No, expectations are low.
Here.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you want that for relevance, but at this point, just it's like Beamer said.
Yeah.
Leave us alone. Let us go to work. We'll see you in September.
Yep.
And I think anytime you have a situation like that, where you have something that's embarrassing that happens, which last year was, you really just want to get back to work and fix it. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to say, well, just talk good about me and forget that I, you know, went streaking through the lawn into the gymnasium, got in the car nude and asked my wife and her friends to take me by Kentucky Fried Chicken, which happened in the movie Old School. There's that reference there. You know, you just want to get up the next day, maybe sleep it off a little bit, eat the leftover KFC.
That's right. Just eat the cold chicken.
Eat the cold chicken. A little bit of that slaw, though. That slaw's, I still like the slaw at KFC. I can't eat any of the rest of it at all.
Not a slaw guy.
I saw this thing, too, where they're like, they make it out of rattlesnake meat. And I was like, oh, God. Yeah, not that rattlesnake meat isn't delicious, according to some.
Right.
And they say it tastes like what, Phil?
Oh, chicken.
Tastes like chicken.
Like chicken.
But, you know, Beamer's like that. So, yeah, I mean, our Beamer's, but you could also tell, I said this on Coffee today, when he was in the big media time.
Yeah.
He got just a little bit more and more intense and defensive when he started talking about, like, rattling off the successful things they've had. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. Like, if you could flip the local beat gaggle with the national inside, that would be perfect.
Right? When Wes and Chris, Jack will tell you this, everybody, that's the best part of it if you're a Gamecock, because they know what questions to ask. David Kloninger asks obviously what everybody wants to hear. And that's the best part of it, really. For you know what, I like when they go on other shows too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like he went on with Bill Gunner yesterday.
Yeah.
Early, and they kind of beat everybody to the scoop because it was before the local media, but it was you know, that's where you learn like specifics. But the good news at South Carolina, and I know there's a new SID, he thinks gone, but I'm assuming it'll set the same way. You know, Beamer, this isn't just it. You know, in a couple of weeks they'll have the Birdies with Beamer golf thing. Right. All the assistants will be there. We get plenty of FaceTime with local media and stuff. I think this is just more of a, I don't know, it's more of an event, I guess, you know, and
because there's nothing really changing or new either. Like, I don't think they're making any officiating changes this year, nothing of really any huge import. So it's going to be, I think, kind of a lackluster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a couple of years ago, it was Texas and Oklahoma news broke at SEC media. Well,
that's probably the biggest thing to have happened at this event in decades.
Absolutely. Strategically.
Right.
So, you know, Quantrill in the McKellar Enterprises chat box, it is wide open Wednesday. Says the people attending SEC media days are more worried about what's going on at the hotel bar than asking thoughtful questions. Plus it's in Tampa. You know, I've been to this event. I hadn't been. Gosh, boy, last time I went, Phil, was 15 maybe in Birmingham.
Oh.
That's
kind of more recent than I'd figured.
Well, before that, it was like 9:09.
Okay.
I went on a whim for 2 days, I think. But all right, so here's the thing. Quantrill, you know, there's been times. Like, I wouldn't go now if it was the biggest party on earth. There's been times where it's kind of been lame in that regard. Everybody just, and it was kind of during the blog, what I call the blog era of our business, when, just to tell you, just to be fully transparent, Facebook was driving a ton of traffic to media outlets, and they were making significant money. If you notice, after the 16 election, you know, Facebook changed their algorithm for political reasons. And now, you know, then all these places went out of business, these blogs. And so what you do is it was called commodity content. And you go quantity over quality because you just post it on Facebook all day and you make money off programmatic advertising. Candy Crush and the like, right?
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so people would just grind, you know, and if you had a website, like a subscription website, you wanted to bring every angle to your subscribers. Now it's like, how do you get a story from there? And on top of that, it's on TV. Like it's on TV all day. When it wasn't on TV, you could get people to click on a video and stuff. But absolutely the local media stuff, and our local media that covers South Carolina does a fantastic job. Can't say enough good about them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them in general. The vast majority. Just like anything else, I have my favorites, right? And I'm sure you guys do too.
I was having a hard time catching up with like the players on TV. Like
that's sometimes where you can get some things.
Like right.
The players, mm-hmm. or if they haven't been coached up properly, you know, they slip and say something.
That's right.
But yeah, Ethan thought about the Chris Marler question. Yeah, there's one of our favorites that's mm-hmm. in SEC Media Days.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get him in next week if he can fit it in coming off of this week.
Marler, Deputy Smitty, we miss those guys. It's about that time to get an update from those. Charles Power.
Yeah.
We'll get to get those guys back in quickly in our hour. But it's just an hour now. So.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
I was telling the wife today, I said, it goes pretty quick now. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, because Phil usually doesn't have projects. He's not going to work on a project in 1 hour.
No, right.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't have any fires to put out in 1 hour.
No.
You know, so I'm not just sitting here talking to myself. Anyway, Ethan says Beamer likes the positive questions that are different than the same ones he keeps getting asked. Yeah. I mean, by the time he got in there, I think he'd already... Because they also do one for like radio and TV. It's like a big press deal. And so he was in there before that. Ethan said, love Clark Lee, but he about put me to sleep when he was talking. Yeah, mm-hmm. Clark Lee and Kalen DeBoer, they're not going to.
Don't take your Ambien before those guys hit the podium, dude.
They can get a job with Audible, you know, reading books.
That's right.
You know, Luke says JC and Mr. Phil are not clowns, LOL. But we are.
But yeah, truly.
We embrace it. Down inside. We embrace it. Ethan missed us. We missed you too, Ethan.
Yeah, man.
People are talking about eating snakes. Didn't mean to bring that up. Gamecock depression, ray of sunshine. Every coach says the same things about their teams. There is a lot of coach speak there. But what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, you can't give away state secrets, and you haven't really seen any practices since Maymester.
The late, great Michael Leach, though, was classic. He'd come in there, and I don't really give opening statements, so anybody have any questions?
All right, what do you got? Yeah, he'd sit there for 45 minutes just answering questions.
Yeah, I mean, you ask him. And see, that was another disappointing part about that when we had the blessing of Mike Leach. Nobody asked at SEC Media Days, no off-topic questions. Or it'd be like an off-topic question that was kind of cringy. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, what do you think about this topic that you really shouldn't be talking about? Or something that
he's kind of mentioned before. It's like, you can't really expound on that. That was a one-off. Go try to get him to say
something. Or you knew it was a setup. It was kind of like Spurrier. You know, a lot of people would try to bait Spurrier. What do you have to say about those volunteers saying that about you, coach? And then you couldn't set the head ball coach up because it threw him off. It threw him off his mojo. You just had to let him naturally say it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You had to naturally have that. You know, because otherwise he'd see through it and think it's fake, and he just kind of crazy. He's like, well, you know, might not be maybe talking about all that. So, yeah, anyway, they've got a good team. And all right, then. All right, my man. Get it.
I know. Yeah, it's no surprise that, like, you know, Kirby and Beamer had the same answer for renewing the state rivalries, right?
Wasn't really a rivalry, and I don't think it is on Georgia. Georgia's got a bunch of rivalries. Georgia has more teams that are like, okay, so, and it's because of the state of Georgia and how many states it borders.
True. Right?
Mm-hmm. Geographically, Georgia's this big old state. And they play everybody they border just about every year, except North Carolina. But they have a really small, tiny stretch of North Carolina.
Yeah, it's just borders Georgia. A tiny piece.
Yeah. Up near Murphy, North Carolina. Which, by the way, I found out by reading Four Quarter Friday yesterday, plays the West Side Rams in Bear Woods this year, Murphy High School.
So
taking the track up there, there's a Harrah's Cherokee Casino, brand new when they opened in Murphy. It's also where Eric Rudolph got caught. So, that town's famous for it. It's near the Nantahala Gorge. But anyway, that's where Georgia borders North Carolina. But they play the Gamecocks. The Gamecocks have played Georgia, I think, next to Clemson and maybe North Carolina and Wake Forest. Carolina's played Georgia more than anybody else. I think Georgia is second as far as number of games played against another team. Obviously, the rivalry of Florida's there. Obviously, Tennessee and Georgia hate each other. Right. Obviously, both Alabama schools don't care for Georgia. Auburn's the longest running rivalry in the South.
Yep.
You know, and so it's just kind of like that with them. You know, the other interesting thing about UGA, though, if you go to the other schools in the SEC that don't border Georgia, their dislike for Georgia drops significantly. Like LSU, Georgia, you know, okay, well, whatever, you know, all the Mississippis, you know, Kentucky, you know, it's not, we don't, you know. So the Bulldogs get stir the emotions when they're that close, but so I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's a rivalry, but then Georgia has Georgia Tech too. Half their schedule every year, rivalry game.
Woo. Yeah, that's right.
They hate us because we're dogs. We're. But I'm glad they're playing again this year. I'm glad.
Yes,
I'm actually intrigued that it's in November. Unfortunately, Georgia plays really, they tend to get better as
the season wears on
under Kirby, it'll be good to have them back. And you know, because Carolina in 2023 actually competed in that game and did not get their teeth kicked in, you think maybe things get back to normal and it's a close competitive football game this season. So anyway, Lance has a take, Latte Lance, in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. For some reason, I just feel like this team is going to start hot and finish 9-3 because of who and when they'll lose. They'll cost them a playoff spot again, but I'm hoping for a home playoff berth. That's interesting because, you know, it's the same setup with these stupid buys.
Right.
So to get a home game, you'd almost have to be at least a one-loss team going to Atlanta and then lose.
Yeah, maybe lose that game.
Maybe lose, depending on else who has one loss, two losses. I'm here for it, dude. Can you imagine a home playoff game at Williams-Brice?
Oh, State? My soul.
I mean, like, look, nothing against the Gaylord Family Opryland Stadium or whatever the heck they call it out at Oklahoma.
Right.
The Gaylord Opryland is in Nashville. Yeah.
Memorial
Stadium. Nothing against that place. It's a fantastic venue. Oklahoma's program speaks for itself. But you think about like that Friday night game with Alabama, the pregame with the lights and the blimp and Herbie, Kirk Herbstreit and Fowler. And
yeah,
I mean, just the setup to that thing, man, that got me. I was like, yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
That fired me up just for college football. Imagine that at Williams-Brice Stadium.
That always shows out when there's national attention, right? I mean, it just, yeah, when game day's there, it's you can't tell that it's like little old South Carolina, right? You know,
playoff game. Yeah.
Playoff game. Oh, that
would
be
so. Hey, I'll tell you this. I think Clemson would be a really good home playoff venue too at night. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And Georgia. Speaking of Georgia's just caught the short end of the stick because they keep winning the SEC.
They get the bye or whatever.
They go to Atlanta, show out, beat Texas, beat Alabama, and then New Orleans.
Yep. Crap. There you go.
Again. Again. Have you noticed that? Okay, so during the playoff era, Phil, here's something interesting. It's random since we're talking about rivals. New Orleans has been a house of horrors for Georgia and Clemson.
Yeah.
Just about anywhere else during the playoff era, if I'm thinking correctly, Georgia and Clemson have been pretty tough to beat. Not New Orleans, though.
No.
I'm trying to think if Georgia, which is weird because Georgia won their 1980 national title down there, and they've done well in the Sugar Bowl. I'm trying to think of the 21 and 22. Georgia was in they were in the Peach Bowl 1 year. Now, I don't think they played in the Sugar Bowl. But now, like the last two, Notre Dame and then Ole Miss, it just hasn't gone their way, has it?
No. I mean, you don't want to get slotted for that anymore. And they think they're doing them a favor, right? Because it's like, oh, this is the close venue to you. And you're
it's not really. Man. Yeah. But it's where it's the historical where the SEC champion usually goes and plays. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's interesting. I think that's very interesting. And Clemson during the Dabo era, they didn't win a game down there. I mean, the Dabo era is still going on, but the glory years, yeah. 17, they got beat by Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That bad. You know, then they had what, 20? Oh, in 19, they lost the championship game down there to that really good LSU team. And then in 20, Ohio State clocked them.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Clemson hadn't done well down there. Maybe Carolina needs to avoid New Orleans. Or maybe Carolina do better in New
Orleans. Or maybe that's the ticket there, you know? Yeah.
I'll throw another fact at you out of nowhere. Clemson did play the year they won the 81 national championship in the Superdome. They played Tulane and won 13-5.
Five.
Do you know how I know that? My uncle was a Clemson fan by marriage on my dad's side. And he had this book when I was a kid. We go over there at 81 national, and I just memorized the scores.
Right. Yeah.
I just go through, oh, they play this, that, and the others. The ghosts of New Orleans, right?
Play Tulane.
Ghost Flame says, Lance, I sign up for right now for being able to gripe about just missing the playoffs. Maybe we were awesome and make it. But to go from hot seat coach to playoff talk, heck yeah. Pip on a Blimp likes gator jaw meat. Never, ever question Pip on a Blimp about food, by the way. Really.
Just trust it. Go with it.
Pip on a Blimp. If Kendall Briles is such a good OC, why hasn't he had a chance to be a head coach? There's a number of reasons. And if you think Pip on a Blimp, I did say just wondering your thoughts. I saw something about that on the message board today. My man, one of our posters or Orlando mentioned that. I'll continue to maintain being a good OC has nothing to do with being a good head coach, because there's a lot of good OCs and DCs that are terrible head coaches.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of people that haven't been OCs or DCs that are really good head coaches. In fact, during the playoff era, there's been 12 teams win the national championship. Six have been won by head coaches who have never been coordinators on offense or defense, including Kurt Cignetti.
The last one, right.
And Urban Meyer and Dabo Swinney and Jim Harbaugh. Doesn't matter.
No.
That said, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the crap that happened at Baylor is probably.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is his last name is carrying around, right or wrong, a lot of baggage.
And he hasn't been. He hasn't been anywhere very long. You know what I'm saying? Now, we talked to our TCU insider when Carolina hired him. He said he's absolutely a future head coach. And I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he's too smart, too good, and all that. But, it doesn't – people on a boat, that doesn't correlate, really.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where people get in trouble with in their head. Is there like they'll get a former head coach in there as their coordinator, unless you're Bobby Petrino, who's just a freak, you know, just it doesn't matter. He's just, sometimes, you know, that's not the answer that you want, you know,
no.
As far as that goes. All right.
Oh, Phil. Dude, an hour flies, dude.
No, but that's not what we.
Oh, you want to? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is every first break. The whole season.
Okay, gotcha.
The whole season.
Whole time.
I decided this driving around in my car while we were on break.
That's not a bad song. I listened to the whole thing.
I discovered this song. Mm-hmm. I didn't discover it. Everybody else knew about it before me. It's one of those pop culture gaps I have. It's been around since like 21. I was like, man. Because I heard Strick and everybody were talking about going to see, and Deputy Smitty was mentioning going to see Treaty Oak Revival. And I was like, who is that?
Who is this? Right.
Who is Treaty Oak Revival? And on my iTunes or Apple Music, you know, it just popped on randomly one day. I was like, this song's really good. It kind of sounds like it's got some Temple of the Dog type riff at the beginning. It's a little fast. I don't mind Stephen Brad, but it's, you know, really country. I don't know. But anyway, I like this is the first break. All right. Don't forget thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com. The special now is sign up for $1 for 5 days. Then get it for $5 a month as an annual member or $11.99 a month. Please check that out. And also download the Chief Sports app to get ready for high school and college football season if you haven't already on Apple. And Nick Harbor. Go to Gamecock Traditions and see Nick Harbor this weekend.
Yeah, $10.
$10. Check that out. Nick, such a good guy. Praying with Steven Garcia yesterday. He is a five-star recruit, five-star athlete. We hope five-star receiver this year. Six-star person. Nick Harbor. Gamecocks have a lot of guys like that, but he definitely is a special individual. We all continue to pray for Steven, one of them. You know, just not a lot of total people that I admire and think as highly of as Steven, just his brain and the way it works, you know. I've always just thought he's really, really a good dude that, you know, is a gift, I believe, to the world he walks through, and hope he continues to walk through it for a long, long time. And I think he will. I think God will take care of him, and Steven's going to fight as hard as he possibly can, which is pretty damn hard. All right. I said first break. This is the break, and then we'll be back with the last half of the show after this.
If you own a home, don't wait on these home safety tips. Flush your water heater, clean your dryer vent, and inspect your roof annually. Don't forget to check washer hoses and caulk in wet areas. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show here, wrapping up on a wide open Wednesday. Hop on in. Our YouTube chat box on Wednesdays is always open to the general public, and not just the Club Chief members, but if you do want to comment Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, especially in football season, that way we can all get it out of our systems. Head on over to our YouTube page. Go ahead, like and subscribe. That's free, but if you want to be able to comment at any given moment, go ahead and sign up for Club Chief membership, starting at what $4.99 a month, JC. So yeah, that's a pretty good value. And if you really want some bang for your buck and $5 a month, then head on over to our friends at fourquarterfriday.com. If you are a big high school sports fan here in South Carolina, and I know a ton of our listeners and viewers are, because you know what, we all love football and we all love sports. And a lot of us played football and sports in general in high school. So it kind of takes us back to a happy place inside of ourselves to think about, if not chat about, some of those things. But you're not going to get any better coverage across the state of South Carolina on high school sports other than fourquarterfriday.com. Head on over, join for $1 now, and then you can sign up for an annual price after the first 5 days for $1 for half price.
All right, Cam, ask a question. Okay, so I'm going back. Jackie Sherrill had a clown obsession, Cockweed. I had no idea.
What?
my late grandmother passed away in 2024. She collected clowns. Now, that's the good side of clowns in my life. My wife is terrified of them. I mean, I've never even gotten a good explanation as to why. But I mean, like, seriously, like, she doesn't. This song, of course, is an earworm, and she'll have it in her head. She gets mad at me, but that's why I wrote it,
right?
To get on her nerves primarily. Craiger says Clark Lee would put a pot of coffee to sleep. Yep. He's just not excited. Good man, though.
Yeah.
I think they're going to take a step back this year. I think they'll compete, but I think a lot, you know, it's just hard to replace Diego Pavia if you're them. And you know, the state of Tennessee apparently all believes that, you know, recruiting rankings translate first year. Yeah, even after Nico got paid however many. Anyway. Cam says, would love to hear someone ask Beamer why he allowed so many run calls in short yardage situations last year that didn't involve Sellers, since he himself has emphasized the need to run 16. Well, he's talked about it this year, but that last year apparently, and I'll be honest, I think I was just wrong, you know. And some of you guys are right, because, you know, there's what you see and you believe, and then there's what you hear and you're told. And I think maybe there was a disconnect. I think Shula overcoached Lenoris with running, because I think the idea is when you're NFL, whatever, right? And you're talking in terms of a big time pro quarterback, you know, you got to find the nuance in it. You got to find the sweet spot and almost instinctively know, like, on a given play, I'm going to not run here. I'm going to hang in here. I'm going to slide here. It's more of a selective thing. Whereas in college, it's, to quote Dumb and Dumber for the fifth time today, just go, man. Just go.
Just go.
Just go. And I think, given all the other issues with the offense, the complexities, the pre-snap, all that, and Lenoris just, I mean, it's hard. You know, I've said many times, rookie quarterback in the NFL, that's what he looked like, because there's just too much going on. He was overcoached. I think too much was made of it. And the sign started. I mean, here's the thing. Lenoris Sellers wants to be coached and wants to do what his coaches say. So the sign started with Dowell Loggins and Shane Beamer after the Clemson game, when he made one of the most – all right, so if you had a top 10 Gamecock highlight play of all time, his run on 3rd and 16 against Clemson to win the game,
right,
would be a candidate, probably in the top 5. And then in the press conference, it was Dowell, it was Shula, it was Beamer. Oh, yeah, but he had Nick Harbor wide open. I'm like, dude, Nick, no, if he'd have thrown it to Nick Harbor right there, you may lose the game, because a lot, it's like Lou Holtz used to say, in your third pass, three things could happen and two of them are bad.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, and look, I know where they were coming from. They weren't trying to criticize the play. That would be dumb.
No.
But I think what it does is it sets this segue, well, you know, hey, you know, you're trying to coach the guy and get him even better, not keep him complacent. And I think that there were signs there that started. And I think he's just obsessed in his mind with doing this, because what he's trying to do is learn how to be a pro quarterback.
Everybody. Right.
It just doesn't work. No. I mean, you know, just let him go play. And Lenoris and Kendall Browse, everybody else have said it all offseason. Go, just go play, man. Just go, man. Just go.
It's like the commentary that you have when you're reviewing the tape when you get back. You know,
And look, it's
not, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, that's what you tell him behind closed doors, but there's no need to be like, well, you know, you missed the open man, and like, come on, dude, he scored a freaking touchdown.
Yeah, the game. it's fine, dude. I mean, you know, just don't. I mean, not on that play. I mean, could you imagine if he'd have thrown it to Harbor? And Clemson's DBs were getting a beat on him a little bit that day, too.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson had some quick DBs. Yeah, they always have it. He throws it up there in the corner of the end zone. Harbor drops it. The guy steps in front of it. It's another pick. All of a sudden, he goes from the hero to the goat.
Yep.
And they never regain confidence. And then, you know, I don't know. There's a lot. I'm just going to shut up about that. I'm tired of talking about it. Game got depressed. The moral of the story is everybody hates Georgia. Yep, within a certain geographic range.
That's right.
Bobby says these hillbillies here in Georgia don't know who to hate, so they all hate others. They hate all other schools. Hate us because we're dogs. Fred Frick says Georgia and Clemson should be a rivalry. It was back in the day. Those schools are 90 miles apart. playing Georgia, Clemson makes sense. Quantrell says he's from Oconee County. People think it's heavy Clemson, but strong Georgia there as well. Yeah, I used to, when I was in college, my last semester, I was a freelance high school sports reporter. I still remember the first high school game I ever got to cover, Phil. Yeah. As a student at Upstate at the end. A little too old to be going to college at that point. But anyway, forget. Better late than never. Trying to
not everybody does it in 4 years, man.
But it was Blue Ridge at Pendleton. Pendleton High School. Man, I went all over the way. Pickens. I got to see a Crescent softball game. Crescent softball was really good there. Hmm. Anyway, in the Anderson Independent Mail's coverage area, they covered Georgia because Georgia, there's a ton of fans in Anderson, Oconee, and Pickens County because it's right there. You know, it's right on the board. So that makes sense. Harrison says, interesting nugget. We got a nugget from Harrison. It's like Harrison's tasty nugs.
Harrison's tasty nugs. I love it.
South Carolina 7-0 November SEC home games under Beamer and averages a 38-20 win. A&M and Georgia come to Williams-Brice this November. They didn't have any SEC home games last November, did they?
No, I think. No, we had two home games, and they were both Coastal and Clemson.
Coastal and Clemson. Mm-hmm. So, the home playoff games are just so much cooler and a better reward than playing at some soulless neutral site bowl game. Yeah. And it's a shame the bowl site, they become soulless, but when you compare it, the bowls used to not be soulless, dude. Everybody go to New Orleans and party for 4 days and, you know,
have a great time.
I mean, when I went to the Outback Bowl in 2001, I had a great time at the 05 Independence Bowl. Now, as the years went on, I don't know about bowls.
Yeah. That's not even like you're getting a preview of the next season's team either, right? Because you got holdouts, you got, you know, the transfer portal, you know, you're not getting a kind of glimpse into the future. It's a shell of what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy. Nick, Euro stepping. Which returning receivers from the 26 class could be the biggest contributor besides Pup Sellers? Like a 25? Yeah, 26. Okay, I got you, man. Mm-hmm. Crush Clemson. I like that. Nick, Euro stepping. Donovan Murph would be my pick right now. You know, Malik Clark had a good spring. I'm intrigued by how you can, like, one of the things I've read about Kendall Browns, he'll find a guy that can just kind of do one thing good and put it in the offense. Yeah, right. I'm intrigued by maybe a Lex Cyrus on an end around. I think Jordan Gidron's going to be really, really good. I don't know when. I don't know if that's that this year or next, but he's going to be really good. But Donovan Murph got his feet wet. If Brian Rowe were back, maybe I would say Rowe would be in that conversation. But I think Pup Sellers and Donovan Murph are your two guys. I mean, nobody talks a whole lot about Donovan Murph, and they probably should.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's only so many players we can talk about. That sounds extremely homerish. That's not what I'm saying. That sounded, there's so many good players, right? Oh, man, it's hard to talk about everybody when you're trying to narrow it down.
But right.
Murph is pretty good. Cockweed's been pining for Browse as the OC for years because he knew the name baggage would keep him around longer. Wow. Yeah,
Blake just got off a horse.
Krager mentions Lex Cyrus. There goes that guy. Pop out of nowhere. Bobby loves Treaty Oak. Mm-hmm. Listen, Garrett says, listen to Talco tapes when you get a chance. I have Jamie Bradford fill me in because I thought Bradford was gatekeeping them from me. I was like, yes, you've been gatekeeping Tree.
I thought it was a misprint. I thought there were like Falco tapes out there that we hadn't heard yet.
Yeah. Gamecock Depression. Hope Mazio steps up this year. Favorite player on the team, dude, was really good in 24. Yeah, he just kind of went backward, and I guess they've discussed that. And I think he's a really competitive guy and tries really hard, and maybe maybe kind of emotionally got down a little bit. I mean, look, he didn't look as fast. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Didn't look but I fast. Think it says a lot that he hung around.
Yeah. I think so too. And he's not done yet, dude. I mean, he's still going to make some plays. X-Man says, if you like Treaty Oak Revival, you should check out Dexter and the Moon Rocks. Okay. I will.
Thank you. Hell of a name.
Oh, Tristan says he can never replace the Kill Zone, JC. I had Jerry Kittle. Jerry's still there.
Yeah. Yep. How long did it take for Jerry Kill and Diego Pavia to start knocking off Power Four opponents out there at New Mexico? I don't know when Pavia got there
because he was a JUCO guy.
Remember? Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, he did have a non-traditional start.
They went to Auburn and beat them by 21 points.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if like that's the magic of Clark Lee or the magic of Diego and the Kill Zone. I mean, that's to be determined.
We'll see. It's like they're. I'm going to be keeping an eye on Vandy, just you know, for sick football purposes, just to see can you maintain this? Did they set them up for future success, or
they had the best sports year in the history of their? I mean, except baseball went down, but everything else was way up. Harrison says watching 3rd and 16 in person at that stadium was like watching an alien walk among us. Yeah, probably. Luke says, "Would y'all know what I mean when I say scramble ball? How big is that at quarterback?" Yeah, the scramble play, it's big in every offense, and Lenoris is really good at it.
Yeah,
that's and there was less of that last year because I think there was all this structure they're trying to do. Cam says it's the second ones and third and ones where 16's number isn't called to pick up the 1 yard needed that had me scratching my head. Even more so since Beamer can hear the play call in the headset. Well, I don't know. I don't think Lenoris is a power runner.
Yeah, it's not. We're not talking about Cam Newton here. It's like that's not a guarantee.
I don't know that. Now, look, let's just be honest. There was the fourth down handoff to Matt Fuller. No. The fourth down at Ole Miss where they tried to run the Matt Fuller sweep play again. I think that may be why I was a little more skeptical about Matt Fuller, just because that's just not his game.
Yeah.
You know, is that, but I don't know. I mean, it depends on the 1 yard and setup and all that. But yeah, I don't think that's something Shane Beamer needs to be overriding his offensive coordinator about.
Do you waste time repping Lenora Sellers under center sneak, or do you just, you know, say, hey, Brady Hunt's got this locked up. Yeah. He's pretty good at it.
Yeah. So TD Null says, I hope all the hype around DJ Black is true. That could be a good thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he's a guy. It's not part of that freshman class, but he's good. Good player. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's hard to talk about everybody. I didn't even mention him. I know. He may be really good.
No.
Ethan says, what happened to Jeff Collins? He's still on staff. Now he's moved on to somewhere else, something else. Dre Bly, I think, took his place. So 1 year, one and done. Bruin, we have wide receivers. No reason Browse can't find 6 or 7 contributors. It'll produce a couple standouts weekly. Yeah. Pretty sure they'll find that many. Yeah. Lauren says, what do you think about the tight ends? I know Brady Hunt, but he wasn't the best blocker last year either. Yeah. Okay. Lauren, everybody's just got to get better. I mean,
I
know Brady was not the best blocker last year, but neither were a lot of people. Mike Tyler, as Quantrill mentioned, is a guy that really had a good spring, but when Jimmy Francis was interviewing Shane Beamer, they asked Beamer about a player nobody's talking about. And he said Brady Hunt. Pat DeMarco also said when Browse first came on, he's like, Brady Hunt's a guy that could thrive in this offense. And so I think Brady's got a lot of talent. I think his first year injuries set him back. I think last year, kind of what he's asked to do. I think sometimes players, when they have some success doing one thing that may seem weird to us, like the Brady Hunt short yardage thing,
right?
That gives him confidence. Everybody wanted him out of the portal. Tried like heck to get him. So,
individual effort and development needs to happen across the board.
Yeah, and I'll say and this, I don't think
anybody who lived through what happened last season, JC, is just sitting there like, well, it wasn't me.
Yeah. All right, so Mike Tyler, Brady Hunt. Yeah, look, we'll see what happens with Brady and the tight ends this year. The tight ends are going to be used a lot different. It's a lot different deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Than really the tight end has been in a while, so... And then every spring practice you heard about Mike Tyler. So he's obviously put himself in position. Bruin says if you spread the offense, he'd easily pick up a yard or two, bunching 8 or 9 on the line against 10 of you. There is going to be tough. Yeah, I don't like the bunches either.
Yeah, I'm not thinking you know, tush-push, but, you know, just under center, regular, you know, lineup up front where you do have a couple guys spread out wide, you know, just – I don't know.
Well, do
whatever you have to do to get.
I'm in favor of running Lenoris in short yardage and spread out of spread formations. How about that? I am not in favor of quarterback sneaking him and slamming him into the teeth of a defense. He's not KJ Jefferson.
Right, right.
That's how they used KJ Jefferson in Arkansas. KJ got hurt, man. I mean, he got the crap knocked out of him. But if you want to spread everybody out and tell Lenoris to shimmy his way through the hole.
Right. Finesse your way to a yard, because my man can do that, right?
Yeah. That all day. Craiger said, Kubelik said yesterday that the tight end in this offense makes this Browns offense go, so don't be surprised if Mike Tyler, Hunt, or Mo Brown have a big year. Well, they do make it go, yeah. But it's more, Craig, like, I don't know that it puts up numbers. Trey Knox they used him quite a bit out at Arkansas, and they used a tight end at TCU too, but it's like, more block. It's a lot of blocking stuff.
Facilitate the run game and get receivers open in intermediate yardage situations.
Brent said bunch in the line and hand it off to a running back is tough in the NFL, let alone in college. It's ridiculous.
I know.
It drives me crazy. And I know why college coaches and I know why the NFL likes these bunch formations too. I mean, I watched Ben Johnson use them quite a bit because what it is, it's like an exploding, but it's like a flower, a blooming flower when you watch it. Everybody's bunched in and they go, okay. I think it's tough in college unless you are like Georgia when Todd Monken was there and you just have sick talent and a freak at tight end like Ben Bynum and that kind of deal going on.
Right, yeah.
Because it's like it draws more people into the box than is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't really always have that advantage. It doesn't matter that the defensive back doesn't know where you're going when you're blooming the flower if the defensive back's just a better athlete or the linebackers are just better. So you get no advantage to doing that. You know, that's one of the things, you know, it's going to be very interesting, I think, about Buster Faulkner because he likes to do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He also likes to do some spread stuff, too, and air raid stuff. But, yeah, Gamecock 346, hope everyone has a wonderful and great day.
Yeah.
You too, buddy. Quantrell would like to see Caden Ramsey in special packages.
So would I, Quantrell. I really like the athleticism of that kid out of Cross, man.
I wouldn't mind seeing him fourth and a mile defense back there.
Yes.
Would you trust him? Because he had 13 interceptions. Would you? I trust
him? If you're just heaving one up, dude, I mean, that's what an interception is, being there.
I trust a true freshman back there, though, in what could be say you're up 6 or 5.
Right. 5. Yeah, 5. Right.
Yeah. So Bruin said that's what was so frustrating last year. Shula being experienced in the league, just saw early on he didn't have the blocking for that, but he never would change. It just wasn't good. And he's not a big sinister guy either. Mike Shula's not an ego guy like some. No. You know, I mean, it just didn't work, and it was sad. Unlike some others that were here that it didn't work, and you're just like, God, thank God that guy's. This is kind of sad. This guy that's passed his prom. Cam said Dowell stacked the box when Rattler hit Juju wide open for a long catch and run on 4th-and-1 against Clemson. Still think that was an amazing play call. Well, it was actually Marcus Satterfield that did this.
Yeah,
and that was 2022 at Clemson. And that was an amazing play call. And I'll say this. I'm gonna say something nice about Marcus Satterfield. His individual play designs were really, really good. He had a lot of really, really good. It just
didn't know how to put it together in the game.
But he had some really good stuff. Coach told me when he was watching Karen's, man, they run really, really good stuff. So he's running good stuff. It's just,
because he ran that out of what the
it was, they were bunched in there, like they're gonna run it up the middle, and Rattler just drops back. There goes Juju, like wide open,
sneaks out and just gone. Yeah,
wide open. Gamecock Depression says, kind of feel for Shula, never saw him happy. Yeah, he was. I mean, poor guy. Nah. I think he found his Shangri-La in college football being a quarterback's coach, and it helped Dowell become a better offensive coordinator because. You know, Shula talk about, but when you're talking about him installing his offense and what he likes to run and all that good stuff, you know, then he has to call it and worry about everything else. It's just difficult. Cam works with Caden Ramsey's family. Great people. That's good to hear. Nice. That's a good one. That's good to end it on that note.
That's great.
Really good things about the Gamecock players. There you go, Phil. Phil, you get to choose this one.
So yeah, I'll handle the end of the show.
Yeah,
I guess.
So, you know, for Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, this is JC Sherbert. It's been Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Coffee in the morning. Also, the morning show. I think Matt Smith, Smitty's in. Smitty went to ACC Media Days. Plus, some things to say about that conference, right? Not as much of an event as SEC Media Days, but that's okay.
I didn't even know it was going on until somebody had a video of Dabo just popped up on my feed. Yeah, okay.
Well, TD Null says he's excited to see the development of Tristan Lewis. He had a good spring. Anyway. Four. The Mad Dog is JC Sherbert. It's been Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can hang out with us on the Insiders Forum on thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com. Check us out. We want all you guys to be members and enjoy the coverage as football season creeps closer. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.